This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You know, I try to be transparent and honest with you guys. I don't have it in me to spend 4 hours today talking about the Las Vegas Raiders. The Las Vegas Raiders are primed and ready for the number 4 overall pick. And if the Chiefs lose to the Las Vegas Raiders, then we got some serious things to talk about on Monday, because they are not a good football team. So I told Rob, you know what? Let's do something a little bit different on this Red Friday. Let's talk to all three of the other division leading teams. Let's check in. Let's see how they're doing. Let's see if they think they're the biggest contender to the Kansas City Chiefs, and also get their thoughts on the DeAndre Hopkins trade. Let's start in Buffalo with Jeremy White. Jeremy, how you doing, my man?
Doing all right on this fine Friday.
All right, Jeremy, now that we have the trade information, would you rather have Amari Cooper at his compensation, or would you rather have DeAndre Hopkins at what the Chiefs got him for?
I think I'd rather have Cooper for the Bills, like for what the Bills really, really needed in the specific player that they needed. Compensation-wise, you know, what the Bills gave up, a little bit less than a third-round pick. Good with that. Money is cheap, and maybe they extend him past this. So, like the Cooper idea, just fine, happy with it. And, I think it's a good fit.
What was you guys' take on your morning show about the Chiefs trade?
Well, it's funny, Carrington. You know, we've talked a million times. You know how Bills fans feel about the Chiefs. Like, they can beat the Chiefs, but they don't beat them when it actually matters the most. So it's a little bit – the comparison I made was, you know, I'm already in a swimming pool, and spraying me with a hose, I'm already wet. I don't care. So whatever the Chiefs get on offense, like, fine, great. Congratulations. You know, the playoffs are what's going to define this team. Bills fans feel like they should have beaten the Chiefs last year when the Chiefs' offense was down. And if it's down again, I mean, the Chiefs could finish 32nd on offense. And when that game comes in the playoffs, that's the only thing that's going to matter. So it's definitely good for the Chiefs. I think everybody here acknowledges that. But at the same time, you know, it's all talk until they actually meet in January and the Bills, if they ever are going to, actually get the job done.
Jeremy, funny enough, Chiefs fans haven't been that concerned about MVP. I just don't know if they're that concerned about individual awards that maybe they were at the beginning of Patrick Mahomes' career. I actually think right now that Josh Allen should be the favorite. I get it why Lamar is. He played really well on national TV, and that always seems to sway things. But this might be the best version of Josh Allen that we've seen so far.
Yeah, he's playing really well. He's protecting the ball. He's thrown a couple of interceptions or whatever, turnover-worthy throws, but no interceptions to this point. Yeah, I think he could have had one or two. It's part of the story. It's partially Allen. It's partially the kinds of throws he's been making. It's partially the volume of throws as well. His actual volume of throws is down this year as well. So protecting the ball, shorter throws. It'd be interesting to see if his interceptions go up a bit with the Amari Cooper acquisition, because they're going to be passing down the field a bit more. So Cooper will be a little bit of a good and bad, because he'll bring back the old Allen, who's not afraid to wing it down the field. And, of course, you know, sometimes that means they get some interceptions.
Looking at the schedule right now for Buffalo, these are their wins: Arizona, Miami, Jacksonville, the Jets, and Tennessee. And they lost their two games against good teams. Do you have any questions about this Buffalo team? Because we saw them go up against some of the big dogs in the AFC, and they lost both of those games.
Not at all. I mean, there are a couple of sad sack Bills fans that want to compare this Bills team to last year's Dolphins, right, who they don't beat any playoff teams. But the reality is the Bills have a resume. Josh Allen has a resume over 7 years of beating lots and lots of playoff teams. So I don't think it's exactly an incomplete team that's flawed because they haven't beaten anybody good. They easily could have beaten Houston. They had a terrible day that day and nearly came out and stole it. Against Baltimore, game script goes sideways. A rematch, they'd be underdogs, but we'll see. But, you know, this team's beaten a lot of really good teams. So they've got some things to figure out still. The new look offense will be a big change. And they've got to figure out what to do defensively with so many injuries. And they've had a lot of trouble stopping the run, more so than usual. So they've got their things to fix. But I don't think there's any sort of paper tiger here that indicates they can't beat any good team.
Last question here. The Bills right now are 5-2. They play the Chiefs coming up in 3 weeks. They play Seattle, Miami, and Indianapolis. What do you think the Bills' record is heading into that Week 11 matchup against Kansas City?
5-2 now, they'll be 8-2. They'll beat Seattle, they'll beat Miami, they always beat Miami. And Indianapolis, if it's Anthony Richardson or Joe Flacco, it's just not going to matter. Yeah, they'll be 8-2.
I mean, if Kansas City's undefeated heading into that game and Buffalo is 8-2, that's going to be the biggest regular season game that you guys have had in Buffalo in a long time. Probably a couple of those Patriots years.
Yeah, and the 49ers is Sunday night the week after, so we got two in a row that are – there's a bye week in between. We got a couple big ones coming up.
That is Jeremy White of WGR joining us on the show today, taking a look at the AFC East leading Buffalo Bills. Appreciate you, Jeremy.
Anytime.
Absolutely. Let's head to Houston right now to catch up with the AFC South leaders, the Houston Texans. Let's catch up with Sean Pendergast of Sports Radio 610. Sean, how you doing, man? Long time no talk.
Hey, Carrington, it's good to talk to you, man. Good to hear your voice. How you doing?
I'm doing great, man. You know what? I'm just happy because 4 years ago, you and I would not be having this conversation right now. We'd have been talking to somebody in Jacksonville or Indianapolis who is leading their division, but now we can talk about you guys. You guys are the big dogs in the AFC South.
Dude, it's so good not to have to do interviews out of market about Jack Easterby and what a freak show the Texans are. It's fun to have a good football team again here, man. It's really, really fun. And it's cool to be able to look around at the other contenders in the AFC and look and go, oh, man, the Chiefs got DeAndre Hopkins. That impacts things moving forward. It's good to be back where everything – it's good to be back above the line of relevance again, Carrington. That's what I'll say.
I mean, I'm looking at their two losses because they're 5-2. I mean, if your two losses are on the road against Minnesota and on the road against Green Bay, you certainly can live with that as a Texans fan.
You can. It's, you know, and yet it's strange because the five wins that the Texans have had, if you were to look at those, they beat the Patriots like a drum, which a lot of teams have done this year. But the other four wins all came down to the final possession against the Bills, against the Jaguars, against the Bears, against the Colts in week one. And a lot of that was due to a lot of mistakes the Texans have made. They've been very penalty prone this year. They've let teams hang around. They've not been a good second half team offensively. And In my mind, I think that's actually, in terms of what the Texans could look like at the end of the year, I think it's a good thing. These are all very fixable things going on with the Texans where I feel like they're 5-2 and they haven't played their best football yet. They're going to get Nico Collins back in a couple of weeks. A lot of optimism, man. A lot of hope here in Houston right now.
Sean, honestly, I thought that Joe Mixon was cooked a little bit. He's been very good this year. Has 77 carries for 400 yards, 5 touchdowns. Yeah. He's been hot these last couple of years as well. I was wrong on Joe Mixon. He's been one of the better backs in the league.
Yeah, he's been great. He missed a few games with an ankle injury, but that wasn't like a wear and tear thing. That was he got hip drop tackled in a game against the Bears in week two. Even a young back would have had a sprained ankle from that. The games that he's played from beginning to end, which there's been three of them so far, he's had over 100 yards in all of those. He's been their most valuable player offensively in the games that he has played in. He's been really, really good to the point where for us here in Houston, you know, we don't watch a ton of Cincinnati football the last few years. We're all going, why did Cincinnati let this guy go? You know, he's looked really, really good. And that's been kind of the trend around the league with a lot of these veteran backs who hit the free agent market this past year. Mixon, Barkley, Henry, Josh Jacobs. It's cool to have the Texans be one of those teams that kind of was able to capitalize on that.
Sean, update us on their wide receiver room right now and where guys are from an injury perspective. Nico Collins, Stephon Diggs, and Tank Dell. I also like Dalton Schultz. I think he's a capable tight end. That's a really talented room, but they've dealt with injuries over the last couple of weeks.
Yeah, they have. It's mostly Nico. Tank missed, I think, the Jacksonville game with a rib injury. But other than that, guys have been healthy. Other than Nico, who is dealing with a hamstring now, they put him on injured reserve. He's going to miss this game against the Colts on Sunday. He's going to miss the Thursday night game against the Jets. And then the hope is that he's back for the Detroit Sunday night game in week 10. The hamstring injury didn't look severe. He strained it on a 67-yard touchdown catch against the Buffalo Bills. So, he actually hurt the hamstring while scoring one of the longest touchdowns of the year. That's the kind of season Nico was having before he got hurt. I think he's still third in the league in receiving yards. He's missed 2.5 games. So the hope is that they just put him on IR, Carrington, just to kind of say, hey, look, man, let's take a step back. Because Nico has been, he's had the injury bug since he got into the NFL to a degree. So I think the hope is that they said, look, let's just take four games to let this thing heal, because the second half of the season for the Texans is crazy, the schedule, which includes you guys 4 days before playing Baltimore on Christmas Day.
Last thing here, let's assume that Kansas City is going to be the one seed. Let's assume that they are going to be in the AFC Championship game. Who do you think their opponent is going to be? Because at this point, I think there's only four teams that can represent the AFC in the Super Bowl. I am not a Jets believer. I am not a Steelers believer. I think it's Buffalo, Baltimore, Houston, or Kansas City. I'd be surprised if it's anybody else. Who do you think is their biggest contender?
I think it's Baltimore, but I'll make a case for Houston because I host the morning show on Sports Radio 610 in Houston. I think the case for Houston is they get some of their offensive line issues resolved. Look, they've got an experienced offensive line and a healthy offensive line that for some reason has had real problems protecting C.J. Stroud so far this year. So I think that's a solvable problem if you're able to get them coached up. And I think if they get healthy on defense, they're missing Azeez Al-Shaair right now. They're missing Jimmy Ward right now on defense. I think if you get those guys healthy, and they've been a good defensive team this year, I think that's the big thing, is they're going to probably have to go on the road in the postseason, and the defense will travel. So I think there's and I think I feel good about C.J. Stroud ultimately when he's playing in big games like this, if they've got their full arsenal of weapons. I'd say Baltimore right now, but, man, I could see the Texans making a run at it, and that's really exciting. I would love nothing more, man, than an AFC title game in Arrowhead Stadium with the Chiefs and the Texans. I think would be great theater.
Well, you know what, Sean, especially if that happens.
DeAndre Hopkins there now. You know, that's our guy. That's DeAndre Hopkins. That would be cool.
No, for sure. You know what, man, go ahead and mark this down. If it is Chiefs in the Houston in the AFC Championship game, man, barbecue on me, man.
There you go. There you go. I love that, Carrington.
That is Sean Pendergast joining us on the show today. I appreciate you, Sean.
Anytime, Carrington. Take care.
Absolutely. That is Sean Pendergast joining us on the show. Let's take one more stop. Let's head to Baltimore right now to be joined by Tim Barbalace. He does the pre- and post-game show. Tim, happy to have you on the show today. There's been a lot of talk around the Ravens. Do you consider the Ravens to be the top contender to Kansas City?
Well, they got to figure out their pass defense first. I mean, they're in dead last, and that's despite heading into the year with a ton of promise and potential in the back end of their secondary. But I will say this. There's no defense that wants to see the Ravens offense right now. And Lamar, look, we've seen him have plenty of regular season success. He's taken his game to a completely different level this year. He's top five in passing. He's 11th in rushing. Derrick Henry is on pace to break Eric Dickerson's all-time single season rushing mark. The offensive line, which I was very skeptical about coming into the year, they struggled the first 2 weeks. They've really solidified. From a receiving standpoint, in seven games, the Ravens have had five different receivers lead them in receiving yards in a game. Five out of seven. This offense, they keep saying it's pick your poison, and it really is. We've seen teams sell out to stop the run, but Lamar's killing them with his arm. And then if you want to drop back into coverage, then here comes Derrick Henry. The offense right now is as unstoppable as I've ever seen it under Lamar Jackson, but that defense needs some work.
Has Derrick Henry been better than even you guys expected him to be coming into the season with what he's given you in the first half of the year?
Absolutely. I think even if you're Derrick Henry's family, you weren't expecting this. I mean, he's on pace to break Eric Dickerson's all-time single-season record. Do I think he's going to keep up that pace? No. But when you look at the numbers in terms of guys 30 years and older, there have only been four players in NFL history, guys 30 years or older, to rush for 1,500 yards. And 1,500 yards for Derrick Henry this year is going to be a shoo-in. You know, he's already leading the league in rushing yards and touchdowns and rush attempts. And part of it's been the offensive line gelling. I mean, he's going a couple yards without even getting touched. And he just gets better as the game goes on, Carrington. The craziest stat with him, man, in the second half of games this year, he is averaging 7.4 yards per carry. 7.4 yards per carry in second half rushes. I mean, that's Madden numbers. You can't even do that in Madden.
Tim, we are getting closer to the trade deadline. Do you see the Ravens being buyers here over the next couple of weeks?
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Absolutely. Eric DaCosta has always been aggressive as GM of the Ravens. He's pulled off in-season trades in the past. Marcus Peters comes to mind, Roquan Smith, Yannick Ngakoue. And this Ravens team, they have four compensatory picks coming their way. So they have 11 draft picks in the 2025 draft. That's a ton of ammunition to add at the deadline.
Tim, what has been the Baltimore fan reaction to Kansas City grabbing DeAndre Hopkins over these last couple of days?
I don't want to say it's a huge reaction. I think Ravens fans are kind of just focused on their own right now, to be honest with you. We know the Chiefs already won week one against the Ravens. It's a much different Ravens team. Since then, the offense has really gelled. But Ravens kind of just focused on their own at this point, on who they could add at the trade deadline in terms of edge rusher, in terms of maybe inside linebacker. Could they get some safety help? But look, I mean, the Chiefs, they've been banged up at wide receiver this year. Rice, he's done for the year. Marquise Brown is yet to debut for them. Juju Smith-Schuster's out this week. Is this the DeAndre Hopkins of 4 years ago? No, but I think it's a deal that makes a ton of sense for them to make, and someone who is going to provide an impact, and you know he's not going to drop the ball.
Are you taking Pittsburgh seriously as a team that can win the AFC North?
That can win the AFC North? Sure. Can they win the Super Bowl? I doubt it. I mean, that offense is still in kind of disarray. The defense has been leaky of late. But shockingly enough, and we know how great of a rivalry it is for Ravens Steelers, and these games always come down to one score every single time, but it's been the Steelers who have gotten the better of the Ravens. And you can look at Lamar Jackson's career numbers against Pittsburgh. I'd be willing to bet it's got to be the worst numbers compared to any other team in football. I mean, he struggles to beat Pittsburgh. He's only beaten them, I believe, just one time, twice? No, one time, and a ton of interceptions. The completion percentage is down. They've kind of figured him out a bit. So the Ravens, they got to take care of Pittsburgh, man. They got to find a way to win because they're 1-7 in their last eight against the Steelers.
And that is Tim Barbalace joining us on the show. He is with 105.7 The Fan out in Baltimore. He does pre and post game. Wanted to get you guys a quick look at the other three division leading teams in the AFC and just wanted you guys to stay updated, stay abreast of everything that's going on. I know today is a Red Friday and I know the Chiefs have a game and I know that we have this very weird back and forth that whenever I pick the Chiefs to lose, you guys get mad when I pick the Chiefs to lose. But then if I'm really confident in the Chiefs, you guys tell me that I'm a jinx. I don't know what you guys want me to do when it comes to the Chiefs. So today, I didn't have it in me to spend 4 hours talking about the Raiders. They stink.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.